Hey, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. They offer video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist. So see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp. Listeners get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/Stanhope. That's BetterHelp, BetterHelp.com/Stanhope. Hey, big shout out today to Helix Sleep. Take their 2-minute sleep quiz and they'll match you to a mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows to our listeners. So find the perfect mattress at helixsleep.com/Stanhope.
You're listening to the Doug Stanhope Podcast.
All right, guys, you're recording.
Hey, we're at the San Jose Improv Green Room still. These will come out weeks apart, but this is our third in our trilogy of sex worker podcasts. Again, if it sells tickets,
yeah.
Hi, yeah, I'm Davy Kirsch.
All right, I was gonna ask, are we using your name?
Yep, I don't care. No. I'm out. I don't give a shit. Like, what do I care? I don't really want a job that won't hire me because of the sex work stain on my record.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you also are a comedian.
Yeah, I'm a comedian, and I talk about it on stage, so it doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah, okay.
I think that I thought about maybe going by an. I was going by an alias with my online sex work, but then I wanted to kind of cross promote my comedy, and it just didn't unless I use my full name. So hopefully no one murders me.
That's see how it goes. Has that ever happened? Have you ever had a John show up as an audience member afterwards?
No, actually, no. I did have one stalker earlier on in me stripping, but yeah, I mean, I threw like false signals. I was like, I gave him a fake real name and I gave him like a fake backstory. And then he let me know, like, I told him I live in Berkeley and my name's Deborah. And I told him like, I work part-time at a Whole Foods there. So he'd come in and say, oh, I've been going to the Whole Foods. I haven't ran into you. Like, I have weird hours, graveyard. So yeah. And he was like,
curb your enthusiasm, kind of just making up lies to cover the lies.
Yeah, basically, yeah. No, I can't even watch that show because I relate to it a lot. Maybe I know that you say Jews always talk about being Jewish, but I really think every Jew is so obnoxious in a Larry David way. He's like the extreme that it's hard to watch stuff like that.
When you're making up these lies, are you doing it to amuse yourself? Or is you just come out of your mouth and then you go, ah, fuck, I got to keep running with it?
A little bit of both. I think mostly I knew this guy was a creep and he was going to try to stalk me. And I was right. So I just trusted my instinct with that one. But I had fun with it before. I'll make up different like places I'm from. I'll make up different ethnicities. Like I was Greek for a whole year. I've been Lebanese before. I even went to Lebanon.
Is this just
to learn more?
Just at the strip club?
Yeah. I was doing research.
You don't do that to me, do you?
No. And I won't do it to your audience. I'm out now. I'm out and proud as being like a Jewish stripper, and my name is Davy Kirsch. So.
What about mother? Davy, and it's pronounced Davy, spelled D-E-V-I, and that's how it is in my phone. So forever, I'm going to forget.
It's okay.
Debbie. But your mother is a fan of mine and turned you on to my comedy when you were a fucking child.
Yeah. There's a couple things she asked me not to say about her publicly on the podcast. She asked me last night, I did a show in the town where my mom lives, and she was in the audience and she begged me not to tell everyone that she's an anti-vaxxer because she works in healthcare and she's afraid it would ruin her career.
So you just
But then by the end of the show, she got so drunk, she told everyone. So.
That That's great.
I'm like, you know, you could just get vaccinated, then you wouldn't have to worry about the stigma of being an idiot. Sorry, love you, Mom. So yeah, I thought
I was going to ask if she knows that you're. Yeah, I know she supports your comedy, but yeah. Does she support the sex work? And how much of it is for her own financial gain? She's sending her little JonBenet Ramsey out into the streets.
Oh my God. I was never a good kid. So there's no like, just for context, when I was younger, I got caught with weed at school in seventh grade. And then I had kind of like a lengthy criminal record throughout my high school career. So
for what?
So the first time I got arrested for real, it was because I got blacked out drunk and I walked into the wrong person's house and took a shit in their bathroom.
That's the classic, Rob Lowe.
Really?
Oh, no. Okay. Who's the, is it not Rob Lowe, the fucking guy that's, Iron Man or whatever.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He got drunk and went into the wrong house and got arrested.
I know.
Fucking, I think he actually did some jail time for it.
I was just talking about how Billy Joel crashed his car through someone's house. Did you hear about
it? No, I didn't know that.
I think in Long Island, he like crashed his car through someone's house. Like, can you imagine you're just watching, see it, like CNN, you're watching football and Billy Joel fucking like the Kool-Aid Man crashes to your house. Yeah, I was just talking to someone about that.
That guy is, whoever, those people.
Yeah.
Bring that story up every
Oh my God. Chance. I mean, it's the coolest story ever.
They segue from anything into Billy Joel crashed into our living room.
Or Robert Downey Jr. Yeah. Just walked in. And unfortunately, I wasn't a grown man celebrity. I was a 14-year-old girl who'd been day drinking. And
Charlie, so we have on me. Was it Quinn? What's the kid we know, the comic that actually got arrested for going into the wrong house?
Oh, it's St. Louis. Pogey?
Pogey. Steve Pogey. Yeah. Yeah.
Steve Pogey.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, he went to
jail.
Yeah, he had a warrant out. Like, he was featuring for me under an assumed name.
Because he didn't want the cops to show up and take him to jail. He
had a warrant out for that.
Damn, that's funny. To be fair to me, they were track homes.
Yeah.
So I thought I was walking into my friend's house. It looked the same on the outside and the inside. And there was a bathroom right next to the front door. So I just remember being blacked out, but I remember like the sensation of having to shit. And I think it was just wishful thinking that was her house. Like, it must be. It looks the same.
And you were 14, because you, how old are you now?
I'm 26.
Yeah, you look 14 now.
Thank
so
you.
I can't imagine.
I looked 26 then. I used to blast through cartons of Camel Crushes all the time.
I shouldn't say you look 14 now if we're going to talk about you being a sex worker.
Oh, I wish. You know how much more money I would have if I looked 14? I'm like covered in tattoos. God.
No, I'm just saying, like, who prosecutes a 14-year-old?
So the woman whose house it was had a 9-year-old daughter who was having a slumber party. So there was a bunch of 9-year-olds and I scared them and they didn't know who was in the bathroom when they called 911.
All right.
So all they knew is there was like a stranger in their house. And the reason, and you know what, I will blast my mom for this one. The only reason I went to jail is because my mom wouldn't come pick me up.
Or she's too drunk to drive?
No, my mom didn't really drink back then. She just didn't feel like it. It's even worse.
It wasn't to teach you a lesson. It was sloth.
I was about an hour and a half away from where she was. So honestly, I was an out of control child. Like, I remember she would try to ground me, and I don't know why people, I mean, I hope no children listen to this podcast, but it's basically, it's a mental prison being grounded. You don't have to listen. Like, she was like, you're grounded. I'm like, oh, what's keeping me from just walking out the fucking front door? She's like, I'll take your phone away. I'm like, well, good luck knowing where I am, bitch. I'm going to take the bus to another town. So
children listen to this podcast when they have parents like you.
Okay, cool. So if any kids are listening, as long as your parents have nothing to take from you, you can do whatever you want. And then eventually the law will probably get involved. So this is basically
the rest of your criminal record. We'll get to your sex work later. What's the rest?
After that, not like as fun. Basically, I got on probation. I got in trouble for texting about like selling drugs, and I deleted just enough they couldn't really get me for the selling of the drugs, but I got in trouble for doing drugs. I guess I'm sentimental. I like held on to a few texts because I thought they were funny.
So the taking a shit at a children's birthday party,
yeah,
is your
that
A
was
story.
How I got. It's,
this is like the people that Billy Joel crashed into their house, yeah. And then the fucking seagulls crashed in our house a few years later. But Billy Joel was really funny story.
No, exactly. I mean, they just looked through my phone, found incriminating stuff. I went back to juvenile hall. And then I'm on probation. So then I just got arrested again. I got arrested like 2 days before my 15th birthday with my friend. I had a friend. So I went to a continuation school where everyone was like actual criminals and I was kind of a noob. And so everyone hazed me and was very mean to me. So kind of like in prison, I befriended the biggest, meanest like Native American girl. And we're still friends. So. I don't want to say her name, but...
Are you confusing your life with One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yeah. The Indian. But it was the girl version of that. But she got me arrested two more times. Like, she got me arrested two out of three of the times I got arrested. But it was kind of worth it because she protected me. But yeah, we got arrested 2 days before my 15th birthday, and... It was kind of cool. All our friends were in there at the time. It was like better than being at home. Like, I hope they leave me in here. It fucking rules. But we both got pink eye in both eyes, so they let us out. So, yeah, I had pink eye in both eyes on my 15th birthday. And I didn't get any presents because my parents were kind of, you know, I don't know, maybe they forgot or they just didn't think I deserved presents. My freedom was the gift. And my mom bought me like a cream puff from a bakery, but she was dating this Jewish guy who would always eat all my snacks, even though he was rich. And then he would label all of his food when he put it in our fridge. And he ate half of my birthday cream puff. So he gave me one half eaten. Lopsided. Pretty sad. Oh, bye. Good to see you, man.
That's Paul Kimball leaving. You bye, might Paul remember Kimball. Him from the last podcast or the next podcast, depending on when Chailey puts him up.
So anyway, long story short, that's my criminal record. And yeah, so my parents have very low expectations for me. And both of my parents are kind of like weird black sheep. So I remember the first time I went to jail,
my dad
is a survivalist. He's like a bear.
Doomsday prepper.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like a doomsday prepper, Bear Grylls style guy. He lives in the woods in Northern California. And he thinks actually that it's great that I'm a stripper because I'm physically strong. So in the event of an apocalypse, I can carry cargo better.
Wrap your thighs around a fucking birch tree and scale it.
Basically, so in my early 20s, I was a drug and alcohol counselor. I don't know why the fuck I did. Like, I was never sober. I didn't want a job where I'm around normal people who have to censor myself around. So it seemed like a good thing. And I had a good relationship with my drug counselor. So I did that. And my dad was kind of disappointed though, sitting at a desk all day, even though he's a respected member of the community.
I thought about doing volunteer work, you know, when you need karma, you wake up with a hangover, and I should do something. And
like an AA where you can get drunk.
Well, in Bisbee, there's Tin Town where the homeless shelter is, and then there's the Verhelst House rehab. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I can't fucking show up at these places fucking stinking of booze.
No, I mean, you could just blame it on the nearest homeless person. Yeah, it's very rewarding if you're not relying on it for money because it pays shit. So I basically like rage quit my job in social work when I was 22 to move to San Francisco and be a stripper.
How did you get to go back? I rage quit sounds like a story.
When you rage quit, well, okay, They were promising me a raise for 2 years. I was making like $17 an hour, which after taxes and all the union fees and shit, was like $11 an hour. And I couldn't even afford my very cheap rent. So I started stripping on the weekends and I made my whole rent in one night. So I'm like, I just want to do this now. I don't want to do anything else except for make as much money as possible and start doing comedy.
My one of my first escort service was in Boise, Idaho, and she was a former vice cop until she found out how much prostitutes make,
then
fucking flipped with the other side.
Yeah, I respect like full service sex workers so much.
You're niche sex work.
I'm kind of niche. Okay, I think it's cool that you had Jenna on and you said she's like the middle act. I feel like the second lady, Dia, she's definitely like the opener. She's kind of more like she's hosting a little bit. I don't really know where I put myself.
They were both had
very good
stories.
I really enjoyed listening to them both. Yeah, very unique. Couldn't be more different. I feel like they're kind of opposite ends of the spectrum. Like Jenna just didn't really care at all. She's like, hey, this is what I'm doing just for money. And Dia was like, I'm making like a real difference in the world. I feel like
it feels like you have a little bit of spite there.
I want to. Well, okay, you're catching me at the waning moments of my career in sex work.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
How would you compare your sex work versus your comedy career? Because you're kind of new at both. Would you consider yourself a more experienced sex worker or comedian?
Sex worker, for sure. And in fact, the reason I feel a lot of resentment towards my job is because it takes me away from doing comedy. Like I have like zero energy left sometimes to do what I want to do because I have to deal with a bunch of horny old guys all the time. And it's just like disgusting. And I feel like from day one, my goal has been to make as much money as possible while doing the least amount of work.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't know. That's why I respect full service so much. And I'm friends with a lot of like, you know, people who do full service, prostitutes. They value their time so much more than I do. Just because I don't feel like fucking guys, it takes me so much longer to make. Like, if we're just talking hourly. Let's talk about, what I do.
Yeah. You started stripping.
So I started stripping. I started at the worst strip club of all time. It's called The Hungry Eye. It's shut down now.
Hang on. Let me do this. Hey, we're going to go to a commercial now.
Hey, the podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. Do you ever have some random asshole send you an email and say, hey, do you want to be a movie star? And you go, oh, is this a phishing scam? But then you go spend 5 weeks in Chicago knowing that you're doing a movie that's never going to be in theaters. And then all you can do is dream about it. And then you have to go back to do stand-up comedy. And then you get cranky at the fucking Greg Chaley because he's yelling. He's supposed to be able to drive the car and he's yelling at a guy for not using his turn signal coming into a parking lot where I'm yelling at him for not using his turn signal to let the guy know he's going left out of the goddamn parking lot. And you want to kill the people that you love the most? Don't kill the people. Go to BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp is waiting for you here.
Relationships take work. A lot of us will drop anything to go help out someone else we care about. We go out of our way to treat other people well, but how often do we give ourselves the same treatment? This month, BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to take care of the most important relationship you have, the one you have with yourself. Whether it's hitting the gym, making time for your haircut, or even trying therapy, you are your greatest asset. So invest the time and effort into yourself like you do with other people. BetterHelp is online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't even have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. And that's creepy sometimes. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Show listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/stanhope. That's BETTERHELP. BetterHelp.com/stanhope.
Okay, now we're back. So you were saying the Hungry Eye before
the commercial. Hungry Eye, which I think used to be a comedy club back, like, I think Barbara Streisand started out.
Yeah,
there.
Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, and it became the nastiest strip club. Like, it had like roaches, bed bugs, rats. Like, it was the worst strip club.
And those weren't
ever.
Fetishes. Those were actual
problems. No, actual problems. I mean, maybe somebody likes the feeling of pests crawling up the shaft of their penis, but no, I mean, it was so bad. There was girls just doing cocaine off the counter in the locker room. And I remember specifically there was a 300-pound stripper named Juicy, and I'm praying to God that she doesn't listen to this because she might murder me. She's the meanest bitch I've ever met, but... Yeah, she was always like, you know, we don't tell people what goes on around here. She was always like, you see anything, you don't say shit. Like, okay, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know
Did
if I
bring in
here.
The big Indian?
No. She's a nurse now. She turned her life around. So then I left and I started working at a different club. And yeah, about 2 months into me stripping, there was a law change in California that reclassified independent contractors. It started with truckers because a lot of people are exploited at their jobs because they're like, you're an independent contractor, so we don't have to give you benefits or anything. Yeah. So it actually makes sense for certain jobs, but it affected strippers also because we were independent contractors, but it kind of affected us negatively. For example, I used to keep 75% of the cash that I made. Now I keep about like 30 or 40%. So I just quit my job, moved to a different city to do this. And then all of a sudden my wages are cut in half. So then I had to figure other things out. Like, it's like I need to do something. Like, I had to do a little bit extra than maybe I would have otherwise.
Fucking truckers.
Yeah, truckers ruin everything. Then they have the audacity to come in the strip club and not tip. You owe me. You ruined my life. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I realized later, I mean, there was like...
They're not tipping at the strip club because they're saving that money to get a hooker.
So. Yeah, we're like foreplay, basically.
If this continues, I'm just sorry to interrupt, but if this continues with getting sex workers of different genres, mm-hmm. I'd like to get a lot lizard.
Oh my God, I might have
just
one for you.
A flying J lot lizard. I want Juicy. Can we get Juicy?
Dude, I will look for Juicy. I don't know, because the Hungry Eye shut down. It's a regular bar now. If I... excuse me, I burped. If I find Juicy, I will wear a bulletproof vest and ask her if she wants to come on the podcast. She fucking scares me so much. Yeah.
So go ahead.
So I started, like, basically guys would offer me money to come home with them after I'm done with work, and I would accept. And the longer I did, the more I realized I could just like name my price and they would pay pretty much anything. And I don't even have to fuck them necessarily. The most that I did back then was either bring a friend with me who is like a full service sex worker, or I just like watch them jack off and make like or just do cocaine with them all night and make $1,000, give or take. So... and yeah, I mean, I've seen some shit. Like, I had a guy, he was like, yeah, I just wanted to do blow with you, meet me at my hotel after the club. And I came over to his place or his hotel room, and he has porn on. And he's like, I'm going to jack off. I'm like, okay, well, you're going to have to send me like more money than we agreed upon originally. So he did. So I'm fully clothed watching this guy masturbate and masturbate to a cum shot compilation while he talked about all the like gay sex he's been having behind his wife's back and how he's like fucking their personal trainer. And then eventually he's saying how he would go to this park and just fuck random dudes. And I mean, I was totally shocked. Like, he was telling me some super slutty things that he'd been doing. And then at the end, like after he came and washed his hands, he's like, oh, you know, like the craziest thing about all of this is none of that was true.
I was guessing it was going
yeah.
on. Yeah. Like, it was kind of Debbie cursed you.
Yeah. He really
made up a whole backstory.
It's like M. Night Shyamalan jack off session. But yeah, so
do you think he was actually lying, or do you think it was buyer's remorse that he told you so much?
You never, it could have been like a double.
Yeah,
twist.
Cocaine makes you fucking tell a lot of stories.
It's hard to say. I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. I never saw him again. I hope he's living a lovely life, you know.
Any scary stories?
Scary stories. Like, oh,
where you ever thought you were in danger?
In danger. Well, okay. I just want to talk about, when I first moved to San Francisco, I was kind of homeless. Like, my living situation fell apart and I was like sleeping in my car, showering at the gym, looking for a place to live. I had enough money, but I just couldn't find a place. So I ended up moving in with this strip club regular, which was a horrible idea. And, I mean, he was fine. Just a little slightly creepy, but he told me that he's like, hey, I have another stripper living here. And I didn't know who it was until I moved in and I ran into her and I knew her. She was this crazy stripper. She was a crazy blonde stripper. We'll call her Sarah. Okay. She had Only God Can Judge Me tattooed right above her pussy. And like, we got into so many hijinks. I mean, yeah, she put me like, and this is actually, we're in beautiful San Jose right now. So here's the San Jose related story. I never asked to be friends with her. We just, by default, like I just moved to a new city and she's my roommate and we work at the same place. So she was the type of girl who would like smoke a blunt while she was pumping gas and just be like flicking it. And I was like, dude, you're not supposed to do that. She's like, oh, it's fine. I do it all the time. I'm like, wow, that makes me feel better. So just a reckless person. And I got free tickets to see a comedy show here at the San Jose Improv one day. And I invited her.
You got free tickets? You're lucky.
It was like a local guy. Yeah. But we were going to go audition at a strip club here, the Spearmint Rhino. Anyway, so we went, we auditioned and we came to the show. And while I'm driving her here, she's like doing bumps in the passenger seat of my car. And like, so then after the show, we go back to the Spearmint Rhino to see how business is in the prime hours. And she ends up meeting these guys, which is super frowned upon. They ended up never calling us because they thought we were hookers after that. And I mean, maybe they're right. I don't know. But we met these guys. We go back to this guy's house, or this guy, not his house, his hotel room. He's from out of town. And this story is not about me feeling safe around him. This story is about me feeling unsafe around her. Like, she's like, he gets out, she's like $600 each and we'll go like do lap dances in your hotel room. And so we did, we got him to buy like booze or drinking, doing the lap dance. And he got a bunch of singles to throw at us. And when he went to the bathroom, she stole the stack of money that he was going to give us anyway. And she broke it in half and handed me half. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, I have to just put it in my purse. Like, what am I going to do? So he comes back and he's like, where'd the money go? And we're like, what money? We don't know. And yeah, kind of gaslit him a bit. And then, yeah, left after an hour. And I was super fucked up, so she drove my car home because she was
coked up.
Yeah, more coked up than me, doing bumps, driving us home. I was very paranoid about, I mean, I've been arrested before, so I don't want to go to jail. And she's like, oh, could you give, we stole the bottle of booze out of this hotel room too. She's like, can you give me a shot of Patron? I'm like, no. We're 10 minutes away from home. Can you just wait until?
Oh my God, fucking youth.
Yeah, is that you?
Well, where you, I mean, so many stories that you think back on.
Yeah, I mean, I will probably look upon that story fondly. But at the time, I was not happy. And like, obviously some scary, like, okay, one time, this actually did scare me. This, I don't like when a guy just whips his dick out in the private room at a strip club. But sometimes I, maybe he thought that I was gonna touch his dick because I didn't say that I wasn't, you know, because I wanted to get money from him.
So weird.
So when I was new, a guy, this is when
it's not weird to pull your dick out. I've pulled my dick out a bunch, but I'm never gonna, like, I haven't, I all,
yeah, you know what's up in a strip club.
Guy, once I was in entertainment, it was just,
This is how I learned about white privilege for the first time. You know, I'm from a small town. I just moved to a city. In my town, white people get arrested too all the time because there's only white people. But this guy comes to a strip club. He's like, what do I get in the VIP room? I'm like, I don't know. We're going to have so much fun. He's like real fun. I'm like, yeah, like real fun. So we go in the room and he immediately takes his dick out. And I'm like, listen, dude, if you don't put your dick away, I'm going to have to leave and you can't have your money back. He's like, you're not going to touch my dick. I'm like, no. He's like, well, then I'm going to raise hell. He's like, let me speak to your manager. So I'm like, okay, dude, I'll get the manager. So I got the manager and the manager's like, yeah, we can't, like, you already ran the transaction, so I can't give you your money back. Sorry, man. And he's like, this is unacceptable. I'm like, do you want us to call the police and you can talk to them? He's like, I would like to talk to the police. So you're going to call the police and tell them that I didn't give you a hand job.
You see those stories all the time about people calling the cops because they got fucking burned on a drug deal.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Yeah.
Please hold.
I know some of you are sleeping on some saggy old bed bug riddled mattresses tonight. And you deserve better than that. Give yourself an upgrade. Helix Sleep has a quiz that just takes 2 minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. Everybody's unique and Helix knows that. So they have several different mattress models to choose from. They offer soft, medium, and firm mattresses. Mattresses great for cooling you down if you sleep hot. And even a Helix Plus mattress for plus size folks. Greg Chaley, did I ever tell you about the time I was a lumper? For a DART transit, my mother's boyfriend at the time, I was 16 years old, and he got me to travel. He was a cross-country tractor-trailer driver, and he worked for DART. I had to fucking lump boxes. That was my job. He'd back the truck in, and we had to go to Grand Rapids. I had to unload a fucking whole crate, I mean, a truck, trailer.
Container,
yeah, of Coco Krispies. At the fucking Kellogg's in Grand Rapids, Michigan, while I was hungry. And that was my favorite cereal. Me doing commercials for Helix while I want to go to bed and not continue this podcast is the same thing. Helix, you are the Coco Krispies of my fucking youth. I took the Helix mattress quiz and it matched me to a guy who likes to sleep like in a fetal position, sucking his thumb and fucking shaking from lucid dreams, etc. Yeah, they have the mattress that suits you. Everybody's different. You take the quiz, you order the mattress that you're matched to, and the mattress comes right to your door, shipped for free. You don't even need to go to a mattress store again, because we all know how boring mattress stores are. Helix is awesome. You don't need to take my word for it. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2020 by GQ and Wired magazine. You know who was number two? No, no one does. No one watched that awards show. Just go to helixsleep.com/Stanhope, take their 2-minute sleep quiz, and they'll match you to a customized mattress that will give you the best sleep of your life. They have a 10-year warranty, so go get it. Try it out for 100 nights risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you if you don't love it, but you will. Helix is offering up to $200 off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows to our listeners at helixsleep.com/Stanhope.
So let's get to the sex work before we have to go on.
Oh, yeah. So during the pandemic, I started a small penis humiliation business online. I dated a guy who didn't even have a small dick, but he wanted me to say that his dick was small, and he wanted me to call him the F slur, you know, the good one. Can I say it? I've had sex with a woman before. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, he wanted me to just... He would rather me shame his dick than have sex with him. Maybe that's why it didn't work out. I don't know. But then I realized I was really naturally good.
But he was the muse for, oh, maybe I can do this for a living.
He was kind of the muse. Yeah. Because, I mean, I am a comedian. So it was basically like a, you know, roast.
Your dick's so small. How small is it?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So basically, yeah, it was like roasting a guy's dick. And if any female comedians are, you know, would like to collab with me and make some content, we can make a lot of money. You make exponentially more money with more women together, like doing this.
What's your Twitter handle?
Okay. It's at Davy Kerr. So at DeviKirsch. So, and also, same on Instagram. So slide through my DMs.
So please send her a small penis fucking jokes.
Yeah, or send me a video. Send me like a snippet of you humiliating a figurative dick, and then maybe we can collab on some stuff. I would love that. You guys.
I was just picturing you when you were saying this, sitting at a Starbucks with a notebook, trying to come up with more small dick jokes for your work, and someone saying, "What are you writing poetry?" No, small dick jokes.
I mean, honestly, the way I would do it is because I was bored during the pandemic. I wasn't working, wasn't doing comedy. I was a good girl. I didn't do shit in person. So yeah, I would mostly, so this is how it would work. They would send me a picture of their dick, and I would give them specialized, like, custom roast jokes, like, that were really, because not every dick is small, but some of them are bad, and there is bad things about every dick, you know? You know, sometimes they're just, like, kind of, like, lumpy, old, droopy. I'd give them nicknames, like, and one thing I notice is, here's something that cannot be in the lexicon of small penis humiliation. You can't call it a dick or a cock. It's too strong.
All right.
It has to be a penis. Penis is the most masculine word that you can use for a penis when you're doing small penis humiliation. Other word. Dink. So prick. I've gotten mixed reviews. Some people are like, never prick, never prick.
But no, dink.
Dink. Yeah, dink. Dink. Clit. If you want to just say right. that's like your clit. I had a guy named Toad Clit that... Because he had a weird, like, lumpy nutsack that was disgusting. And honestly, you can just be honest most of the time. I would never touch your clit. Like, it's not even a dick. It is not even a penis. That cannot be attached to a man. You're a sissy bitch. You have no you have no claim to masculinity. You're disgusting. You should put it in a cage because it's and just render it useless forever. Because no one's going to enjoy it. So... Like, thank you, mistress. You're right.
So what's the website?
Well, my OnlyFans got shut down, but you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at MeanGirlDoll, all one word. That's my sex work persona. And
on Instagram.
Instagram and Twitter. I have sex work Instagram and Twitter. So
it's what?
At MeanGirlDoll. M E
Yeah, they get it.
They get it. They know how to fucking spell. Mean Girl Doll. Mean Girl Doll. At Mean Girl Doll. Yeah. So hopefully I will get my OnlyFans up and running again.
What happened with that? Because I know they fucked people over, but then they kind of dialed it back. Know.
I mean, it's weird on OnlyFans. There's certain things you can't say. You can't say like piss, or you can't say like, I don't know, chastity. They're kind of not kink friendly.
Wow.
There's certain things. Yeah. I mean, they're kind of in denial about what they are. Like, they tried to make it so you couldn't do any sexually explicit things on there back last year. I think in like August or September, they announced that they were basically going vanilla, like no sexual content. It's like, what the fuck do you think people use this website for?
Fucking uproar on Twitter.
And it was mostly because the credit card companies were going to stop supporting them, their transactions. But yeah, you're just not going to exist anymore.
So when did you get, like, now you're actually going out with men?
Post-pandemic. Before the pandemic, I had one guy. I mean, let's just call him Eustace because he had a very old man name. He's old as shit. But I met him at the strip club, and I noticed when I sat on his lap, he's wearing a cock cage. And he looked like a nice old man.
You noticed?
Look, I'm sitting on his lap, and I'm like, what the fuck is in your pants? It's like a catcher's helmet over your penis.
His dick wasn't out. You could feel
it. No, I could feel it. Like, it didn't feel like a dick. It was like a weird cage, you know? And he's like, I wear a cock cage all the time. It's connected to a website where people control if I can take it on or off. And we got to know each other over the period of about 3 weeks. And then he paid me $2,500 to fuck him in his ass. Yeah, so it was pretty cool. I mean, it was like the most money I've ever made in a short amount of time. About 45 minutes.
Until you came?
Until he came.
Until you came.
Well, I had to. It was
I'm not paying you until you come on my back.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so fun. There. I didn't know that dildos could come until the strip club where I was working at one point. They had a featured porn performer. I thought there's a featured performer would be some pole dance master, but it was just a porn star laying in a kiddie pool full of lube, jacking off a fake dildo that was coming fake cum all over her face. It was funny. Yeah, but yeah, back to Eustace. In order for him to come, I had to bet him $500 that he wouldn't come. Like, I had to be like, oh, if you come in the next 30 seconds, then you owe me $500 additional dollars. And that's the only way he could come is if he's not supposed to. So now, yeah, I'm getting my website up and running. And I do have a guy who, you know, pays me to beat him up. I have a guy who, he paid me $300 to kick him in the nuts in a park. But I'm kind of new. I met a lady who's kind of teaching, she's mentoring me, and she's really great. I don't know if she'd want me to say her name on the podcast, but she's kind of like a famous dominatrix who does really well, and she thinks I would be great at it. Mostly you're just doing improv about making someone feel bad. It's like shame improv.
I don't really have a connection there anymore, but kink.com. Yeah. In San Francisco.
They shut down this year. Yeah.
They had that big fucking armory, the whole block.
Mm-hmm. And they used to have a comedy show there where you could talk. Oh, it was like an anything goes comedy show. But just to plug something, I'm starting with another comedian. His name's Troy Moyd. We're going to start a show at the Condor Club. It's a strip club, and it's going to be like a dirty comedy show.
In North Beach?
Yeah, that's where I used to work.
Carol Dota, the first stripper.
Yeah, it's the oldest strip club in America. Yep. Yeah, oldest titty nude bar. Yeah, I used to work there. I quit because, you know, I don't know. I just felt like quitting. I work at a different club now, but I still want, I'm starting a show there. So me and Troy Moyd, comedian Troy Moyd. So it's going to be, the theme is going to be like, the dirtiest jokes possible. So we'd love to have you. If you're ever in town, you want to do it, Doug. It seats a lot. It's a big venue. And yeah. So anyway, hopefully we can do kind of what the armory did. Like, just be as disgusting as possible.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that will, maybe you'll go national with it.
No, I know.
Take it on the road. Yeah.
Take it on the road, maybe.
Yeah, San Francisco would be the place that you, like, the place that's against like everything would be the place you could start doing comedy that you can't do anywhere else.
No.
That San Francisco types said, you can't say that. But they would go the extra step to go, okay, now we're going to do it because you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
We won, and now we're going to actually double down by losing.
It's so true. I mean, everyone says all this stuff about San Francisco, like there's things you can't say, but I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of people, it's just a bunch of people you never see or interact with that feel this way. And then most people are just itching to, you know, have things said to them that are supposedly not supposed to be said. It's a breath of fresh air to hear like dirty jokes or offensive humor. Yeah. And honestly, yeah. Anyway, how much time do we have left? Not that I want to end. I'm just wondering.
I got my eye on the time because we do have a show in 55 minutes. So we're good.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to make a drink.
Yeah, let me talk really quick. You told me save it for the podcast, but my podcast that I've started, it's called Stripper Eye for the Pathetic Guy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's basically me and another stripper trying to rehabilitate like pathetic guys.
Bad titty bar behavior.
Mostly. Open mic comedians have been willing to come on and get like roasted, but yeah, male comedians can be debased in that way and not like try to sue me later or get offended. So
what are you drinking, Doug?
Vodka soda splash of cran.
Okay.
Oh, here.
Oh, soda?
Yeah, it is, but it's flat. It's in a fucking pitcher.
Well, I'll start over.
That's all right. No, I don't care.
But yeah, so far it's been, I have one episode on Spotify.
I want to be on.
You should fucking come on. I would love that so much.
Yeah, I can't remember the last time I was at a titty bar. It's just so fucking, it's so awful.
Yeah.
I just want to pay them to fucking.
Go away.
Yeah.
That has happened to me. I work at a fancy one now. I quit Condor to work at like the upscale one. And I started there and immediately they're like, yeah, you're not like young enough and you're not hot enough, but we like you, so we're giving you a chance. And like everyone's like a barely legal high school senior or like a, you know, model looking girl. And so far I've gotten by okay just on my personality, but it's intense.
I don't know. When I go to a strip club, if you're not there to see titties, then don't go. Well, I'm here because the fucking club owner or my friends and I had to go.
Yeah.
There's nowhere else open that's serving food.
Like, I have hooker money. If I was horny or wanted to be horny, I could get a hooker, but I'd just jerk off to porn because I don't want to deal with a hooker.
It's such a better deal getting a hooker. Like, it's honestly like bargain value. Strippers will take you for everything you have.
And I know that
for nothing.
I know that grift. And I know they know. And it's like if you went to a comedy club and you don't want to laugh. And like, what's wrong with you? No, are you having a good time? Tell your face. At least I don't want to be in a comedy.
I would appreciate if people who have that attitude just don't come. If people are like, well, what do I get? I might as well just get a hooker. I'm like, then get a hooker. Because here, you're going to waste a bunch of money. You're going to leave probably pretty horny unless you tip me an extra $1,000 so you can jack off.
Oh, the last titty bar I was at, which is they closed the best titty bar ever, was Mary's in Portland.
Oh, they closed it?
They're moving their location, which was most of the fun of it. Because it's just a corner dive tiny bar. And instead of the bar,
place,
it was female run, a mother and daughter owned and ran it, and I'd go in and like no one's working you. It's like suicide girls all tatted up on stage,
totally
yelling at the crowd, I need money for the jukebox. Come on, pass the hat. Because they play their own songs on a jukebox on stage to dance to.
Yeah, that's where I belong in Portland stripper wise. Like that's where, because I have a lot of tattoos and I have piercings and more of an alternative look. And in San Francisco, they don't like that. They want you to look like they want you to look like you're basically fresh out of high school and signed a modeling contract, or you just have to, They prefer not to have people. Yeah, and it's obviously just
the populace is all tattooed and pierced. So I want to see something different.
It's mostly every strip club in San Francisco is owned by the same corporation, and they're just like corporate guys. They're like old like Lebanese guys, I think. I don't know, but they have their preference, and that's like what they want. They want like Vegas style strippers. Yeah. Which not people, the people of San Francisco don't necessarily want that. But yeah, Portland's great. I mean, you can eat a steak. Like one of my relatives.
The railing?
I have a distant relative who works at a strip club in Portland, and I went to go visit her at work, and it was like the best steak I've ever had. I was looking at my relative's vagina bottle. It was awkward.
A mullet when I went there. Some
really?
Guys after a show, you gotta go. It's the best steak.
Mm-hmm.
And like a wooden railing in front of the stage. Like,
yeah, yeah. No, I don't. I think there's a few steakhouse ones.
Yeah,
yeah. I want to go. Yeah, I would love to work in Portland. But yeah, mostly they just dance. They don't. It's not like you don't have to hustle people. You're just dancing.
Yeah, that was why Mary's was. I don't even consider it a titty bar. It was a bar that happened to have tits. If you're bored looking at your phone, you look up and see tits.
Yeah.
There was no...
No pressure. Yeah.
There's no air of... You know, there's no bouncer.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I think I'm kind of about to retire from being a stripper. Like, for real. I'm so done. I'm too old.
Penis humiliation.
Dude, I'm like, I mean, stripper years are like dog years. Like, I'm like 1,000. I'm 26 now. I work with a bunch of 18-year-olds. I feel very protective over them. Like, stripper retirement is either you become a prostitute, you become a dominatrix, or a bartender. There's no way I can go back into the normal workforce. I am working on my resume. I don't know what to put. Titty dancer. Someone's going to appreciate that, right? Business skills. Maybe I could sell cars.
I've told the story on the podcast. I'll tell you, it's another boring story. But I did fill out a job application a while ago, many years ago.
Yeah.
And I just put my actual credentials.
Did people...
But I put... like. Louis C.K. and Joe Rogan and someone else down as references with their real numbers. No, I never get a fucking call back. I swear, being a liquor distributor.
Oh, you'd be such a good liquor distributor. What the hell?
I was wondering, like, if I had to get a job, what could I do? And I went through whatever fucking, what's that, Craigslist or something. Didn't get a call back, so... I'll humiliate small penises with you.
We should, honestly.
But definitely want to do your podcast.
You should do my podcast. I do it with my friend Mia. That's her fake name. Don't try to find her.
What's her fake real name?
Her fake...
What's her backstory?
Gertrude.
It's her fake backstory. God, that's so
she works. She does. She climbs down sewers to unclog them.
We do that on the road when we're touring. We come up with fake things that we do.
I did work with a stripper a long time ago who unclogged. Like she like went like sewer. Like her main job was like unclogging
dirty
sewer.
Jobs.
Yeah, yeah. She was fucking jacked too. She could like she did all the cool pole tricks, and then her, on weekdays was like yanking dead rats out of sewer drains. She was hot. I don't know.
I love it. Yeah. All right, let's get ready for the show.
All right, yeah.
Pocket full of notes.
Thank you guys so much. Follow me at Davy Kirsch, DeviKirsch on Twitter and Instagram, and then at Mean Girl Doll if you want to see some light.
Send your penis pictures to where?
You can Venmo me at DeviKirsch, and then send.
That's
penis
the important
pic.
One. Well, you should be
I will not open it until you Venmo me, but say reimbursement for something so the IRS doesn't come for me. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay, take us out, Bingo.
Okay, bye-bye now.